because we forget so quickly. So we have started off just by realizing that there is a problem in the world concerning fathers. There is a problem concerning families. And we've looked at a lot of stats about that, and just to make sure and to see if we don't recognize the problem and own it, we won't be able to do anything about it. And we've realized from that we are called not only to be fathers to our own children, be our fathers to the nations as well, because of that 62%, someone will have to be a father to them if we want to see them follow God, because we relate to our earthly fathers, and in that way we relate to our heavenly Father. God always is able to overcome that, but that's just the natural flow of experiencing our own fathers in our lives. So I think after that we just checked what was the different age appropriate parenting times in the children of in the life of a child, to make sure what is needed at different age and to be age appropriate with our children. I have to remind myself, I read it, James Dobson wrote it, he says, don't seek for what your child still will become. He's on his way there. And sometimes we look for it where he's not at the right age for it. So we looked at that, and just to make sure that we are wise in the way that we parent and lead our children. And from that, we realized that ourselves has been wounded because we did not receive at the right stage what we should receive. So I think spending time with many of you know Cassie, spending time with Cassie, I was just brought back to the place where our marriages, our leadership problems, our fathering problems, societies it come down to our own insecurities. And those insecurities are coming from we've been wounded in the past, and we don't attend to it. We just, especially South African men, they just like to sweep it under the carpet and think it can disappear. But God is calling upon us to bring it into the light, all those dark places in our lives, to bring it to the light, not only to Him, but into accountability to one another, and trust God that there will be healing for our woundedness. Because those woundedness prevents us to reach the potential that God has intended for us. And so that was just our woundedness. And we talked about conventional manhood, and we talked about biblical manhood. And God has called all of us. And we talk, sorry for the lot of manhood, it's the same for our women. God has called us to represent Him and to bring His rulership to earth. That's it. That's what God called you for. And God is on a mission with that. And we need to find out where do we fit in that mission that God is busy with. How can we work with Him in His mission? God is not with us on our mission. And we said to one another, I think 2 weeks ago, we should teach our children life is not about them. Life is about God's mission and finding out how do you play a role in accomplishing God's mission of bringing His kingdom to earth. And I think the last 2-3 weeks, I may be missing some of the stuff that we did. We talked about how do we bring moral authority to our homes. And I think the main thing that we learned, if I myself is not living with moral authority, there will be no moral authority in our lives. So I think that's about where we have ended at last week. And with that, a lot of homework. And say, guys, let us not only hear about these things, but let us do it. Kom ons maak seker. En ek dink net, ons is so 'n paar ouens wat een keer in die oggend saam 'n breakfast eet in 'n week. En die laaste, ek weet nie, 3 weke of 2 weke, ek kan nie onthou hoe lank ons by mekaar is nie. En hoe goed dit net vir ons is, how good it is for us. We're gathering in the week in the morning for breakfast. And how good it is to walk in accountability with these things. And it's just so good for us. So I want to just recommend you guys in your cell groups and in your small groups and the women that is gathering. It is wonderful to just have relationship and fellowship. But I think something that is lacking is that we struggle to walk in that obedience that Diogo has spoken about from what he sees in Italy. So I see accountability and just an openness and I wish I could have shown you the video of the Chinese guy that I filmed that he said, we men, we like hiding. We just hide and we hide too much. So I want to encourage us to just bring it into the light before God and before fellow men. We can trust one another. We do love one another. And we are there to protect and help and encourage and guide one another with that we are struggling with. Maybe just before we carry on with more practical things, I want to read us a scripture that God gave me in this week. And that I just want to remind all of us about. So I want to read from John 5. And maybe Colin, if you can read it in English for us, because I've got Afrikaans Bible here. John 5 verse 39. And Jesus is talking to the crowd and to the Pharisees is amongst them. He is talking about his relationship with the Father and that the Father sent him, that he's representing the Father, that they will learn to get to know God through him and everything. And then he says in verse 39, and I just want to remind us, because we've been pretty practical about fatherhood, motherhood, representing God the Father in our homes, very practical, and which is good, because sometimes we are overwhelmed by what ought to be, but we don't know how to do it. And I think we've visited a lot of tools and help to say how to do it. Let's do these things and get these things done in our lives, biblical principles. But then God showed me the scripture, and I just want to read it in Afrikaans, and Colin can read it for us in English. En hy sê hier aan die fariseërs, hy sê vir hulle, julle bestudeer die skrifte omdat julle meen dat julle daarin ewige lewe sal kry. Dit is juist daardie skrifte wat oor my getuig. Julle wil nie te min na my toe kom, sodat julle die lewe kan ontvang nie. I just want Colin to read it in English. I think it's two verses, 38-39.
You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life.
Amen. And when I read it, I just realized, guys, we should make sure that in everything we're busy with, we are looking to meet with Jesus. Everything that we are busy with our children, the aim is that they will have relationship with Jesus, that they will see God the Father for who He is. We may have all the knowledge and all the best practices of parenting. If they do not know Jesus, we are missing all of it, like the Pharisees did. So I want to encourage us that it is in personal relationship with Jesus that we are pursuing all these practical guidance, that we are trying to form a biblical culture in our homes. So may we just be present to that. I was yesterday part of a men's camp in Piketberg, and and we shared a lot of stuff about being men and being fathers, being husbands, and something just stood out for me, and it connects to this verse, and it says, we need to be disciplined, we need to be wise, we need to be obedient. But we don't trust in that. We trust in Christ. Our future of our children, of our own lives, will not be built on these principles, isolated. We don't trust in them. We are obedient and we apply them, but our trust is in Christ. And may we just keep that with us as we work through this practical help. So maybe something on culture. I think I've shared previously, maybe you guys in your country can say if it's the same there or not, that maybe cell phones is one of the biggest challenges for culture. It's one of the biggest challenges for biblical culture as well. So in where many years ago, we could have relied on society to reinforce home values. So I just want to read what William has said here. Parents cannot, as they once did, rely on the culture to reinforce home values. In fact, they can expect that many of the cultural forces influencing their children will be actively undermining the values you want to instill in your children. That's a given for us. And the cell phone has brought world culture into your home, into your bedroom of your children, into your own home. So if you don't know what you are aiming for and what God is teaching, we would just follow that culture that is shared all over the world. So how do we instill then biblical values in our homes? I read something the other day, I don't know if I shared it previously, but we cannot expect of Sunday school or the school to do what parents haven't done. And we do. We think, no, they will do it. I'm part of the school governing body at school, and it's so frustrating sometimes to sit in conversations and see that parents are expecting something applied in the lives of the children by the school that they themselves are not doing. Nothing, not at all. And they hold us responsible for that. So we're trying our best, but we cannot build on empty air. There should be a foundation laid by the home. So guys, values, maybe we should just turn to one another quickly, two, and say, what is a value? How would you describe a value to someone? So the discussion may be in Afrikaans. No, I'm just joking. What is a value? In Afrikaans, wat is 'n waarde? Die waarde waar volgens ons lewe. Wat is daai waarde? Hoe definieer jy dit? Good. It seems to me we've got a lot of answers. Who's going to try? Jandri, are you going to try? What did you and your dad decide? What is a value? Iets wat onderhandelbaar is. Ononderhandelbaar is. So, it's not negotiable. That's for who? In the home. For you personally. It's your personal values, and you don't, wat is die, onderhandel? You don't negotiate about it. Okay, good. Something else about values? What else? Good. Like that. Thank you, Chad. Anything else? Yes, Denzel? Good. So, just context of what Denzel says is he says, vision is where the bus is going. Us as a family, this is what we want to achieve, and this is where we are going. And values is what's the rules on the bus? How do we behave while we're on this journey towards what we want to accomplish? I like that. Thanks, Denzel. That brings a lot of clarity. So, values is something that we can't see, we can't touch it, but we live by it. We live by it. And people experience it when they are with us. That's values. Something about values. And how do we instill that? And I think something that we have learned, we as a family are in pre-grade R when it comes to values. We're not matric yet. Maybe there's other people that has been advancing much better in how to work together. So I'm sharing some of theory and something that we are struggling with. So I think something which is important for the household is that values for that household is determined by the whole family. I am the father and I lead it, but if I want everyone to buy into those values, what we live according to as a household, I need everyone's input, and then everybody buys in. So practically, what we want to encourage you guys to do is to sit down as a family. We've done it a few years ago and talked about it. And if you ask someone, so what is our values? So, no, we don't know. So we don't know the values. We're not living it. It's just as practical as that. And also, if our behavior does not represent it, it's not our value. So it's got to be seen, measurable, sensed. Otherwise, it's inferior our value, but our lifestyle does not show any of it. So when we started with this again, we started over. We said, let's visit our values. We had a discussion. Now, some of them has left home, so it's over the WhatsApp. So what do you think about this one and that one? And No, I don't like that one. I like this one. So we've put up a new set of values, and we are trying to Umeni. Good. So how we behave. I would say it's more the heart of the game than the rules. It's the heart with which we interact, and what is anyway, come on, let's leave it there. It's the rules on the bus. It's good. It's something in our heart. It's not we do this and this. It is a lifestyle that is governed by an inner value that is set in our hearts. So I think if we are clear about those values, it's much easier to say, do we live according to them? So I've spent some time a few weeks ago with guys that has been busy with this for a few years. So they would, if they gather on a Sunday evening or whenever as a family, they would sit down and say, okay, so what is our values? This is what we've got. It's visible somewhere. They can see it. They've written it down. And they know it by heart. And they would say, so how do we look at the past week? Did our actions, did our lifestyle, did our time, did our money represent anything of what we say is our values? And I like what Charter said. It may not be perfect, but this is what we are aiming for, and we hope to grow in this. So maybe just a practical thing that we did, and I want to encourage you as be clear about it. This first thing I want to say about it. It's good to discuss it with your children. In my home, there would be 5 set of eyes watching whether I'm living by it or not. So it's good if they know. We can keep one another accountable. So one of us is outward focused. And a few weeks ago, Marinda suggested outward focused action. And everyone is excited, yes, we're going to do it. And I don't know what happened to her. She got busy and got lazy or what, I don't know. But she was just postponing this action that she herself suggested. And was so good that Kristen would say, but Mama, no, not tomorrow morning. No, we're not going to, tonight. We're going to do this thing tonight. And I'd say, okay, let's do it. So they took food to the guy sleeping in the post office and chatting to them, building relationship. And so it's good if it is a buy-in from everyone in the family and we can keep ourselves accountable. And maybe even if the year come, you revise it, you look at it, is it still applicable? We had at a stage, we had to listen well was one of our values because no one listens in our home. It's just talking. The one is just halfway and the other one is giving his opinion. And said, no, guys, it can't work like that. I want to hear you. Let's make it a value, and let's look after the end of the week. Are we listening well or not? Because I remember Stoffies was this small, and he would say, but you chip in. Yeah, you chip in. You chip in, Amakar. And that was his complaint all over, because everybody was interrupting his discussion. So it can change from time to time, and maybe when you guys are planning your year next year, you would sit down and say, guys, let's look at our values. Have we grown in them? Sometimes we take a value, like listening well, that we are not good in. We want to grow in it. It's not necessarily our most important value, but it's something for a time that we want to grow in. So we make it a value. We put it up. We discuss it. How would listening well look in the home? So take those values. Don't only put them up, but make it practical. Say, how are we going to live it? Wat gaan gebeur? Dan sê jy, ons doen die value. Okay, so that's maybe just a bit of practical helping to put those values up. The reality is values is the filter through which our behavior and our thinking and our planning should be governed. If you have set that values, I know that beautiful value, that story about Cassie that he told. His last was 3 when they discussed it, and she said, or he said, I can't remember, youngest is a daughter. She said, generosity to the poor should be a value in our homes. And they wanted to get that out because it's a difficult one, but she just said, it's not going out, it's going to be part of it. So they had every now and then to say, so how are we generous to the poor? How are we going to do that? How does it look? And beautiful stories from that. So I want you to sit as a family and discuss four or five most important core guiding values that you want to live by. Do it as a family. Why are we doing this? What is values helping with? It is telling your child who or she is. It's helping to form their identity. So, and I think one of the biggest things we've got two through the teenage phases. Are they through or not, Miranda? And one in there, and the enemy wants to steal the identity of the youth. They want to make them unsure of who they are. Who am I? So if you live according to clear principles and a set of values, it helps your child to form his identity. He's planted in this. This is who he is. If you ask him, it's, sure, I'm a child of God who live by these principles. There are others as well, but these are important to me. And I want to form a lifestyle according to them. So it helps to form identity. We will put in our email that we will send out just a list of different values, and you can go through them and pick them. When we reviewed ours, I think we ended up with 38. I said, no, now you've got to get that from 38 down to 5 again. And anyway, so it's a process. It forms as a family. It's beautiful discussions, praying about it, thinking and discussing. I would suggest, there's no rules. Don't take the fruit of the Spirit as a value. In a way, it's a given, if I may say. But you can. So think a bit out of the box. So maybe I'll just say where we ended up a few months ago. So we said spiritual growth. I said, well, it's not with you, Kristen. I didn't change that. Spiritual growth, so it's one of our values we want to see. So spiritual growth for us is not only growing in spirit, but to see the Spirit practiced. That's spiritual growth for us is the whole thing, not only. And the second thing for us is dying to self. We want to see a lifestyle that dies to self. So every now and then we say, shared in the men's camp, sometimes I get tired of dying to self. I just want to do something for me. And I'm challenged, do I live by this value? Am I going to die to self here? Whether it is in an argument or whether it is in what I want, what my flesh desires, or my family desires. And we say, do our lifestyle represent something of dying to self? So that's a value to us. I think something that I've asked Anshin, help me. And you speak into my life because he sees quite a bit of me. And I want to be, I think our country needs it, and I want to grow in cultural sensitivity. And I'm not good cross-cultural. I don't really have a friend that I can say he shares the space in my home, he shares our family time. I'll be dishonest, but I want that. I want to grow in that. And I want to be sensitive. I was in this week just frustrated again how the normal South African through all cultural groups would talk about another group as if all of them are the same. Yeah, so disgusting for me. I get, kan ek nie sê in Afrikaans kon ek nou maar nie in die kerkie hoe ek voel as ek dit hoor. It's so stupid. How can we take a whole group and say all is like this? I'm busy reading a book about the history of the Afrikaner from 1652 landing in Cape Town, and I'm amazed about travelers going through the Cape Colony of that time coming back with different reports. The one would say, this Afrikaner guys are backwards. They are the most mean, and the atrocities that they do and which they live by is just horrendous. Then another guy comes back and he says, I've never in the world seen such God-fearing people. You think, how can this same report come from the same group of people? What's the answer of that? They met different people in that group. And if we want to grow in our country, we need to acknowledge this and watch our language, watch our thinking, and change it. It's not biblical. Yeah. So cultural sensitivity is something that I want to grow in. I want to be, I think, Jerome, I've asked you guys as well, please speak to me. Speak to me if you see I miss it, because the body of Christ is inclusive, all cultures, all nations. And if we are not sensitive to it with a history like our country, we won't establish it. If we want it out there, it must happen here. It won't happen out there if we can't get it right in the church. Same as unity in the church that you've spoken about. We would like to be generous, and we would like to be outward focused. So that's our family values at the moment. And we are doing, but not very well. So we will grow in that, and you can keep us accountable to that. I'm not going to go through all the lists of different values that we can. So the one idea I want to leave with you this morning is, if you choose family values and form a lifestyle around that, it forms identity in your child. And you are preventing the enemy from sending your daughter to 16 and 17 and 21 and wondering who they are, what they live for, what they stand for. And so the second thing I just quickly want to leave with you is, you want your children to choose well when it comes to friends. Not true. The question is, what is the example that you set? The second question is, some of us do not choose friends. We just live as a family on our own. So what's going to happen with the children? They'll be isolated at 14 and 15 and 16 at school as well. It's not healthy to be isolated at that age. You want to be surrounded by people that has the same values as you. So that's maybe just a practical thing, choosing family friends, spending time with them, having the same values and spending time together. The last idea I just want to leave with you today is, and the word says, we can read a lot of word about it, but just to be practical about it, is there's counsel, there's wisdom in the counsel of many. We know that the whole Bible talks about how the body works together. And Kristen, just get that table of support on there. So something that God has been wonderful in my life without even knowing about this principle and applying it, I think with me it's number 409. Not so a tafeltjie met 'n paar stoeltjies om. So I can just testify. Oh, I don't know where I would have been if it wasn't with the people that supported me through life and that was close to me and surrounded me around my table. And we just call it table of support. And the question this morning for you is, who like thy table of support in jou lewe? And there's a few suggestions. That's not a table, lovey. That's a circle. Where's the table? Is it gone? No table. Ah, there it is. Okay. So it's too small, but that's just a symbol that says table of support. So different people that can sit around that. I also want to say there's no rules, but Marinda can testify of a friend of mine. I'm seeing tomorrow him. I'm so excited to see him. And another friend of us from university is with us today, so I'm so excited. It's a beautiful weekend for us. But Johannes came to the Lord in first year. The rest of us thought he lost it now completely. He was as crazy. Just wanted to drag us to this church. And anyway, so, but Johannes has been a table of support for me over 1989. It's nearly 30 years now. I can say always he's been sitting around our table as a family, loving us, caring for us, supporting and encouraging us. And what a privilege. His father-in-law became a mentor in my life in 1994 after my dad died. He bought all the sheep on the farm, and out of that he became our mentor. My and Marinda's came to visit us on the farm and sit with us and prayed with us, prayed for us. And so I can carry on, and people, I'm privileged that so I want to suggest a mentor. I see that my potential is not developing if I haven't got someone who's mentoring me. So I want to ask you, do you have a mentor? Do you have someone that is 10 years ahead of you in life, 15 years ahead of you? You can look, it doesn't need to be perfect, but you can look up to him. He's playing a mentor role and making sure that you become what God has intended for you, helping you, encouraging you, guiding you, giving wisdom, speaking into your life. And you are listening, you're submitting to his authority in a way. He can say no to you. My wife knows she's got a few men that she can phone if I'm not behaving. And she knows I'm listening to those men, of whom Anton with us in the congregation is one. And she can phone them, and she does it. She would phone Anton and say, hey, Anton, he knows now. He doesn't even know to have to get information. If she phones and she says, Anton, will you drag me or Mark? Please, would you come by and see Christoph? She knows, he knows he's got to come and speak to me. So I've got him, Johnny, in Hermanus. So different people that is mentoring you, I would say that's one person that should be around your table. Maybe family members, close family members. I'm privileged. I've got two brothers. We share everything. We know everything. It's good to have family there. It is good to have maybe someone who's coaching you in one area of life. So a mentor and a coach is not the same thing. But you want to keep on growing. So one thing that I wasn't good at, and thanks to my friend Victor, I've become a better sports parent. And it's good for my children. They all love sports, but I behave badly alongside the sports field. And it's not good for our relationship, nor for either identity or for their passion for what they do, because I'm behaving badly. And I drink very often with Vic, because I need a lot of coaching with him. And now Stoffies would say, "Dad, I want you to come and look." Vic say, "You're on the winning road now. You're winning if you can do that." So coaching in one area of your life and growing in that. What else is there? The question this morning here for you is, are you coaching someone? Are you discipling someone? As someone is mentoring you, are you mentoring someone? Can you put a name on the paper and say, I spent often some time with this guy, and I can see he came to ask me, would you speak into my life? So me and Chad has a relationship. Just after he came here, he came to me and he said, I want to see you every second week. Do you have time for me? I said, yes, it would be lovely. So we don't only sit in the office. We play some squash sometimes. He comes to eat with us as a family, he and his family. And there's a bit of a mentor relationship. So I don't only receive, I also mentor someone else. So they can always, you can have more than one and do that. So a table of support. And I must say, one of the most beautiful things that I see if we start mentoring someone is pushing you higher. Because I can't come to him and talk about stuff that I'm not doing. So I first have to get it in place. Be obedient. Do it. Practice it. Otherwise, Chad will look at me. So we don't want that. I'm not perfect, and he knows it. But so I want to encourage you. I just want to see if we've left out. I think for me, a chair that is empty is I don't really have a cross-cultural friend, and I would like to have one. And I'm trusting God for one. I've built relationship with Joel that was here, and then he moved back to PE, so starting all over again. But that friendship, cross-cultural, I think our country needs it. I think you need it. If you want to build the kingdom, you need it as well. Because the kingdom is just cross-cultural. It's not Afrikaner, nor Fijian, or whatever we think sometimes it may be. So I've set a mentor, someone that you mentor, or a mentee, a coach, family members, and maybe an inner circle is someone, something else. So do you have close friends that you can relate to and discuss with? So it is, in a way, I want to say it's your equal. It's a close friend sitting in your inner circle. And that table of support is bringing identity to my family. It's bringing identity to my children. Because they know these people. They know when Dirk is helping us with the finances, and he's tough with the finances. He sometimes say no to us as a family, and we just have to say, okay, we have asked you to help us being good stewards with our finances. And if Dirk says no, we don't do it. And so, but it brings identity to them. they know that Anton is there, and Johnny is there, and so on. So, and my brothers, they know my brothers. We spend time together as families, and so that table of support, the inner circle of your family, helping to form the identity of who you as a family is. So I want to encourage you then today with three practical things. But in this, we, as I've said in the beginning, it is our relationship with Jesus and our revelation of who Jesus is. Because I want my family to see Jesus in our lifestyle. I want them to follow them in our lifestyle. So it's not only these practical things, but live according to John. Don't study everything and miss Jesus in it. Don't do everything and he's absent in it. He is the center of all. Everything was made for him and through him. So may us choose values, choose friends, and choose a support table. Those three things help to form the identity. We will get to other help in forming the identity of our children. We will get on next quarter. But those three things we can practically live and do. And it's a lifestyle. It's not a to-do list. It's something that is formed through our lives. So I hope that you would walk in this week searching Jesus as you form a lifestyle, because it's relationship with him that satisfies and leads and heals and is forming our family. I can just say, for us as a family, sure, we are so blessed. And I want to encourage you guys, we are blessed by these principles and walking in accountability in the family, but also to other families with these principles. I want to encourage you on Wednesday morning when a few of our men came together and we had breakfast, and one of the guys had to share, and I could see he didn't want to share. And then he said, my wife said, maybe I should share this at the men's breakfast. We only, I think, five together, and he shared his woundedness in some area of his life to us. And he says, I was wounded when I was, I can't remember, 13, by this and this experience in my home. And I can see today in my own marriage, I'm responding from that distrust in that wound. I'm responding to my own wife. It's not who she is, but I am bound by that experience. And we could pray together and we can trust God that that wound will not walk with him and influence his marriage and his own family. So guys, I want to encourage you. So bring those testimonies next week. Next week is worship, testifying, telling what God has been doing in the past 3 months in your lives, and specifically these things, because that encourages the next guy to share his wounds, because he wants to see the same thing in his life that what he heard from that. So that's why we are testifying. Say, Lord, do it again. Do it for others, to encourage one another, to lift up God, that people will go to him and not ask us for all the advice and the wrath and the help, but to God. Let's pray together.